Praise God, praise God. You can have a seat. I'm going to make you stand up during the whole service. Although, if you do want to show some love and get a shout out at any point in the sermon, I'd appreciate it. It's been a while since I've preached to a crowd this size. We are a new church plant out in Aurora, Colorado. We started about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago in May. And we last time I was out here was March of last year, and got to share with you guys some of the vision for that. And really, because I'm a byproduct of Good News Church, having come visited over the years, and I always feel at home here. I never feel like a stranger, and you can probably guess why, because I look so much like someone you already know. So you never treat me like I'm a stranger, and in fact, you always remember my name, even if it's the wrong one. Although I may forget many of your names. apologize for that in advance. But I'm happy to be here. It's great to be back in Good News Church, and like I said, it feels so much like home. I was praying just over the past couple of weeks about what I would be able to share with you tonight, and I believe it was just confirmed through some of the songs tonight, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be the last voice that you hear from this platform in 2016, and I think this is going to propel you into next year. Praise God, praise God. Well, I want to share a little bit of history with you. I want to be real with you tonight. Is this a safe place? Is it okay to be real with you tonight? Let me just start with this. Church planning is hard. It's really, really difficult to plan a church, and planning a church in Denver is extremely hard. It's not the South, it's not the Bible Belt, you don't have churches on every corner, you have people that are far from God, and you have that everywhere you go, but in Denver it's especially hard because people look to the mountains as their God. Well, people will look to 420 or marijuana as their God, right? It's legal there, and eight other states or nine other states, so if you're thinking about moving somewhere to get some of that Rocky Mountain High, go somewhere else, okay? We're getting crowded anyway. But people are far from God. They're looking to all kinds of other things to get their feel. And it's probably maybe a little bit like here. People think they're regular church attenders that they attend on Christmas and Easter. And so we've had people that have come to our church last year and said, oh, yeah, that's my home church. And well, we haven't seen you in about a year. You know, you still call it your home church. Well, we endeavored to start 2016 with this idea of connections, and I feel like the Lord gave this to me last year, and I know that Pastor Matt is really big on words and phrases for the year, and I've kind of adopted that for our church. And last year I felt like the Lord wanted me to talk about connections, to make connections, to be all about connections. So we started about making connections in 2016. We started connect groups that year. We started meeting in people's homes, and it started off really well. The year got off to a great start. People were coming. People were loving it. The connect groups were going well. We started showing the I Give Life course in people's homes, and people were starting to take hold of it. And then we had our one-year anniversary in May. The Judds were out just a week before that, had a tremendous service with Matt and Susie and Harry and Grayson, and they took the stage and just delivered a powerful, powerful E320 service. And the Lord has been moving ever since then. We made connections with them, and they brought in people with them. Even that night, there was a guy, I'll share one story with you. There was a guy who I've been leading worship in the mornings for the church that we rent from. So we do a 5 o'clock p.m. service, and we rent from a church and do evening service there, and I lead worship for them in the mornings because they lost their worship leader earlier this year, and so I've been their indefinite fill-in. And there's a guy that plays piano with me on Sunday mornings, and he said he wanted to come and learn a little bit more about the sound system, to get to know a little bit more for Sunday morning church. And so he came that night, and that night happened to be the night that the Judds were in town. And he's back there in the sound booth kind of, you know, fiddling around with the stuff. And I go back there after service, and I could see that he was visibly shaken. He was wrecked. I mean, I'd never seen this guy like this. I hadn't known him very long. And so I go back there, he's just sitting in his chair, and I could see that he'd been weeping. His eyes were, you know, kind of welled up with tears. And he said, "You didn't tell me I was going to sit back here and cry for 45 minutes when I came to your church." And I said, "Well, the Spirit of God hit you, my brother." He said, "I've been a Christian most of my life. I've never felt that." And I'll tell you, you know, it's something about what Good News Church brings to people. If they just experience it, I believe one time, they'll keep coming back, or they'll long for more. And so they came out that night, and this guy, he said, "You can't keep me away." So he comes in the mornings, Then he comes in the evenings. He's joined our band. He's joined our sound team. And he's just a rock star for us. And he does great. And then just to seek to do more connections, we started a men's softball team last year. You saw some of the guys representing the Good News Grizzlies shirts around here. We gave Pastor Matt one when he was out. We started our Good News Grizzlies off of the Bad News Bears, if you caught that. Very clever. So we had softball, and they really got to know their pastor through softball because I'm a competitive guy. And I shared this story with our church. It was one game, and I get a little heated on the field. You know, I kind of take the pastor hat off and put the I want to win hat on at all costs. And so I lost my temper one night. I got a little angry at some of the guys. I was yelling, and I could just envision the devil was working overtime on me, and I could just envision our coach. See, I didn't coach the team. I knew that would be bad for me. I could envision our coach. He's coaching first base, and the guys on the other team. And this wasn't a church league, but there were several churches in the league. And I just had this vision of one of the other team members rounding first base and stopping to talk to our coach and say, man, that guy over there, he needs Jesus. And this guy, Sean, saying to him, well, that's our pastor. So I just had this vision of that, you know, happening, and thought, man, I really need to work on my attitude. So we're building some connections and driving in some home runs and trying to win their pastor to Jesus. So that was the summer, and September comes around, and I'm reminded of, I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago, I went skydiving for the first time ever. Anybody in here been skydiving? Nobody. All right. Is it on anybody's bucket list? Okay, everybody's looking at me like, you're crazy. Okay, one or two. It was exhilarating, okay? Exhilarating. The most nervous I've ever been in my entire life. And so there's something about, you know, making this free fall. If you've ever been on a roller coaster, you take this, you know, you climb up, right? You climb up, 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 and click, 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 click. And then you just take this massive dive, right? Well, when you jump out of an airplane, you don't experience this slow ride up or this, you know, gradual drop. I mean, you're dropping and you're dropping and you're dropping. And you're falling for a good probably 2 minutes before you pull the parachute, right? And so September comes around and it feels for me like a free fall. And not an exhilarating one at all. It felt like I was plummeting to my death and the church itself was plummeting to failure. We had families leave, move out of state. We had 2/3 of our church left. Our church was about this, maybe a little bit less than the size of this room at the end of summer. People moved out of state. People moved for theological reasons. People moved for reasons we don't even know why. They just left the church. And I felt like a big failure. I felt like all the time and the energy that everyone had poured into me was such a waste. And then October comes around, and I feel like we finally pulled the parachute, you know, like we stopped the hemorrhaging a little bit, we slowed down the free fall, and I get a gust of wind when I go to IGO with Matt and Susie and Nate and some of Jeremy was there, and so I got some wind in my sails a little bit, came back fired up, and about a week and a half after that, a family texted me, hey, we're leaving the church, and these are the reasons why. I'm like, hey, you're the only ones left. You can't leave. You can't go anywhere. And I'm like grasping at straws and, you know, pulling at their shoestrings and tying them to the seats and anything from duct taping to the seats to keep them there. And it's almost like somebody poked a hole in our parachute. And Cody, one of my associate pastors, you guys know him, he described it this way. Like we feel like we're drowning and then someone steps on our head. Nobody's offering us a lifeboat, you know, a life jacket. It's like, okay, yeah, guess what? People are leaving. We're leaving too. Have fun with that. Gurgle, 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 you know. But all through this, you know, we still felt the Lord's nearness. We still felt like we were having powerful services. We still felt like people were getting empowered. People's lives were changing, and we were doing the stuff. We made a goal this year of we wanted to pray with 200 people to be saved through the Ministry of Good News Church Aurora, through people doing their thing and everybody working together, doing what it takes. And that by the end of this year, I think we're at 184, okay? And so even with all the free falling, all the parachuting, and all this different things, like, we're making progress. We're seeing lives change. People are giving their lives to Christ as a result of the church. And it's been a struggle, though. It's been a struggle. And I finally feel like we've got the reserve parachute out, you know, at this point. And in fact, we're ready to hit the ground, and we're ready to get back up in the air. And so the Lord has been speaking to me about some things for this next year, for 2017. And I hope that tonight it's going to speak to you as well. And so my phrase for 2016 was connections. And this year, I'm going to give you my phrase for 2017. And maybe you can make it your phrase as well. The phrase is this: fight. That's it. Fight. That's all there is. Fight. Everybody say fight.
Fight.
Yeah, come on. Everybody say it. Say it with some umph. Say fight. Thank you. I needed that.
Fight.
I needed that. Tell me to fight. Fight. Praise God. The journey's not over. Okay. All right. 1 Timothy 6:12. Let's look at some scripture tonight, huh? Let's encourage each other. You guys are encouraging me. Here it is. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Okay? Philippians 3, starting in verse 12. Turn over there if you got it. This is one you should have highlighted in your Bible. Commit it to memory if you can. Not that I have already obtained all this. Say, I'm not there yet. Or have already arrived at my goal. I'm still striving, huh? But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Straining, fighting. Straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And there was a time when we felt like quitting. I was sitting across the table from my friend Cody, and he said, "Is it time?" I said, "Is it time for what?" I'm like, "You want to go get some wings or what, man? I mean, is it time to pull the plug?" And I'll be honest with you, I seriously considered it. Seriously considered it. I work part-time for the church. The church is able to pay me part-time. I'm a substitute teacher as well. And I tell you, man, they don't pay teachers enough. They definitely don't pay substitute teachers enough. You know, I don't know about you, but some days I'm like, you can't pay me enough to come back to this school to hang out, have five-year-olds, yell and throw paper balls at me for 6 hours. You can't do that, you know. And so I sat across the table from him, and I'm like, You really feel like it's time? Hey, man, we need to find out, right? We need to find out. So after a few great conversations with some of the pastors and the staff here, you got a good staff here, guys, and they're encouragers. Amen. They're encouragers, and that's what they did for us. They encouraged us. And Susie, she was one that told Cody this. She said, "Has God told you to quit yet?" I said, "No." He said, "Did God tell you to do this thing?" "Yeah, God told us to do this." "Has he told you to stop?" "No, he hasn't told us to stop." "He didn't say give up. He didn't say it's time to shut the doors. He didn't say it's time to quit." This is what he did say: fight. He said, fight. He said, forget what's behind. Fight for the future. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. "Let us not become weary in doing good." Been wearisome. "For at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." If the harvest is coming, but if you give up, there's no harvest. If you stop, there is no harvest. If you pull up the crops, if you pull up the seed, there's no harvest coming. "You'll reap the harvest if you do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And when I hear that word fight, I think of a lot of different things. I think of what happens in my home. I think of what happens behind closed doors in your homes. I think of what happens when my kids put on their superhero costumes and they go to town whooping each other and wrestling, right? I think of that. My kids love superheroes. I love superheroes. We're a superhero family. We're all about that. And when I think about heroes, I think about fighting. They're fighting the enemy. They're always looking to overcome the enemy by doing good to all people. And I want to be a hero. I want to be a hero of the faith. I want to be in the Hall of Fame of faith for not giving up, for fighting, for doing good to all people. I want to be just like Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And don't you know that heroes get oppressed sometimes? Don't you know that the devil works hardest to put down the heroes? Because if the hero is out of commission, the town suffers. The community is going to perish if the hero is not there to save them. Because the community, sometimes they have a hard time rising up without someone telling them what they're fighting for. So the word fight, this is what it means. As a verb. To engage in battle or in single combat. To attempt to defend oneself against or to subdue, defeat, or destroy an adversary. You guys know we have an adversary, right? The Bible calls him the father of lies. That's his number one tactic. He lies to you, tells you it's time to give up. It's time to quit the fight. It's time to stop doing what you're doing. He'll tell that to you all the time. And he'll use good people to tell you that too. He'll use well-meaning people. People that think, oh, this is going to be for your good if you give up. Uh-uh. Don't listen to that. Lies from the enemy. Fight also means to contend in any manner. And I love this one. Strive vigorously for or against something. Vigorously. Vigor. As in, he fought bravely against despair. Thomas Edison, the guy who was famous for inventing the light bulb of a number of things, tried, and I don't know, it's this number of stuff on Wikipedia, but at least 2,500 times to invent the light bulb. And when he was asked about failure, how he felt about failing that many times, he said this, I have not failed 10,000 times. I have not failed once. I have succeeded in proving that those 10,000 ways will not work. When I have eliminated the ways that will not work, I will find the way that will work. So good, right? Michael Jordan, one of my heroes, basketball. He was cut from his high school basketball team. He said this, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I was trusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life. That is why I succeed. Don't give up. Don't give up. Forget what's behind. Strain towards what's ahead. Press on. Fight vigorously. Man, and we have so much more than Thomas Edison and Michael Jordan and all these guys that have tried and quote-unquote failed. So let me ask you this. Are we contenders or are we cowards? Are we cowards or are we conquerors? What's the scripture say to us? Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors. Amen? Amen? We're more than conquerors. We're not those that shrink back through Christ. So what are you fighting in your life? Are you fighting despair? Are you fighting conflict in your home? Are you fighting discouragement? Are you fighting a relationship battle right now? Are you fighting someone in court? Are you fighting a bad attitude? Are you fighting broken dreams? Family issues? Are you fighting lost loved ones? Are you fighting health problems? Are you just fighting life in general? I want to show you a clip of a movie I saw several years back. You probably would notice this. If we could roll that, that would be great.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is going to be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Oh, well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only going to end up bad for you, and it's going to end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
That's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
You ain't going to believe this, but you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son. You're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Just picture a father telling his kids that. You're not a coward. You're not ready to give up. It's not about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And I tell you, maybe you're like me, that life's been beating you up. That people in the church have been beating you up. That people have been giving up on you. But your Father in heaven, he hasn't given up on you. He doesn't want you to give up on yourself. You're not a coward. You're not a coward. You're not even just a contender. You're more than a conqueror. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. Say that, church. Yeah, I'm more than a conqueror. So what are you fighting for? Are you fighting for those broken dreams, or have you given up? Are you fighting for your family, or have you given up? Are you fighting for your marriage, or have you given up? I'm telling you, don't give up. Don't give up. You can fight. Are you fighting for the salvation of those that don't know Christ? Fight. Are you fighting for your health? Fight. And get this. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Come on, somebody. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Oh, we're not fighting for victory. The victory's been won. triumph has been claimed. And not only has he disarmed the enemy, see, the devil doesn't know that he's disarmed. He's coming at you thinking he's got all the weapons and he's waging some kind of war against you. There's no war that can come against you. You got to fight from victory. You've got to claim your authority. You've got to come at the devil and say, no, 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 that's a lie. That's a lie. I'm not a coward. You're a coward. You want to call me names? What you say to me bounces off of me and sticks to you. I'm rubber. You're glue. Come on. Come on. He made a spectacle of them. A spectacle. It's like he paraded them through the streets and saying, na 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 boo boo. You know, like Jesus conquered the enemy for us. We don't have to take his junk. We don't have to take it. He'll keep dishing it out, though, if you keep taking it. He's going to keep punching you. He's going to keep knocking you down. He's going to try to keep you down. But you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. And you just got to remind him of that. And we've got to remind ourselves of that. We've got to remind each other of that sometimes. We've got to be encouragers. And I love being around the people of Good News Church in Augusta. Because without this church, we wouldn't be where we're at. We would have given up a long time ago. I would have given up without the support of my family and my friends at Good News Church. Because it's hard. It's tough. But the devil's a liar. And 2017 is going to be a year of fight. It's going to be a year of fight. It's going to be a year of triumph. It's going to be a year of overcoming. And let me tell you this. Even though there may not be hundreds of people in the pews, we're going to fight. We're going to fight for that one. We're going to fight for that one. Like this guy, his name's Rob. Rob, if you're probably not watching. we just go there. I'm going to make you watch. Hey, Rob. Rob's story. That very same night that the Judds were in Aurora, Rob comes forward. We'd been working on Rob a while. He used to play drums for us, and then he left our church for a while. Then he came back. I ran into him at Chick-fil-A, and my wife ran into him, and it was God-ordained. We kept running into him at different places, and he's like, how you been? And I said, man, we missed you. Come back to church. This guy wasn't ready to believe in Jesus when he was coming to church, playing on our worship team. We shared the gospel with him several times. That very night that the Judds were here, they gave an invitation, and then nobody was coming forward. And I get up on the stage and I said, hey, if you're feeling something, you know, in your chest, if you've got some butterflies, if, you know, there's something happening inside your body, that's a good sign that you need to come forward. So he comes up and I ask him what's going on. He said, I don't know, but what you just described was me. And I said, man, you need to get saved. I led him to the Lord right there. And then they had talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I led him in the baptism of the Holy Spirit right there that same night. He's been coming to our church ever since. He's been growing in his faith. He's back on the worship team as our drummer. He played Christmas Eve service with us. He's been growing in his faith. And I tell you what, you know, I'll take 100 hits from the enemy for that one. I'll fight for that one. Because when we started Good News Church Aurora, for us it wasn't about having a massive church. It wasn't about having a big building or lots of money in the bank. It was about building big Christians. And that's what we want to do. And I hope for you that's what you want to see. And that's to the end that I want you guys to pray for us, that we would be about fighting to build big Christians. We want to be empowering. Our DNA is the same as yours. We call ourselves a twin church, the twerch. You know, Cody affectionately calls it, not twerk, but twerch. And that's what we want to do this next year. We want to fight. We want to fight. We want to fight. And I don't have any goals for how many we're going to win to Jesus, but I know we're going to change some lives. I don't know how many we're going to change, but we're going to change some lives. That people's lives are going to be different because they've come in contact with us. And by golly, we're going to fight for it. We're going to fight for it. Can I have you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to take a look at your word, to understand that you've called us to fight. You called each and every one of us, not just church planters, not just pastors. You've called us as individuals to fight for our marriages, to fight for our families, to fight for relationships, to fight for our children. You've called us, God, to fight the good fight of faith that Paul told Timothy, that we would forget what is behind, that we would move forward into what you've called us to, Father, and that we would continue to strain, to continue to strive, continue to fight towards the goal. We thank you, Father, that we don't fight for victory, that the victory has already been won, that we fight from victory. So we claim it right now. We're victorious. We're victorious. We are victors in the name of Jesus. I'm a victor. I'm a victor. I'm a victor. Devil, you won't have my family. You won't have my church. Devil, you're not taking any of it. We're conquerors. We're more than conquerors in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the victory that has been won. We give you praise. All authority is yours, and you've given it to us to take it out on the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just give him praise. Just give him praise. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've called us to more than this. I pray, Father, that we would forget what is behind and we would fight for our future. The future you've called us to, Father. Praise God. We claim it right now. The victory is ours. The victory is ours in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, guys.